the ultimate gift that anyone can give somebody is time. That's the only commodity that you can give that you can't get back.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. This week's story isn't a tearjerker. It also isn't one that's going to pull on your heartstrings, but it's still a powerful statement. My guest this week is Mrs. Ashley Guyverson. Ashley and I talk about her lifelong commitment to volunteering and why sparing a little bit of time can really go a long way to someone that needs it. And you never truly know the ones that do need your time. So as MBI Studios is still under construction, I'm bringing you another episode coming from my super duper makeshift Cincy recording studio. And I do have to say thank you to Mike Bussing for all his technical advice and technical support while I'm recording in this studio. He's really helped me a lot and helped make sure these episodes still sound great for you guys. And for those that don't know who Mike Bussing is, Mike is the executive producer at MBI Studios. He's the one that makes sure Truth and Justice sounds great every week and keeps us all in line at MBI Studios. So if you like this week's episode or any episode of Made Us, make sure you share the show with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend is the best way to help this show grow and is the best way to help these stories get out there so that hopefully we can help somebody. And if you share the show with a friend, make sure you go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and let us know how we're doing. And if you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do that as well. And if you don't listen to Apple Podcasts, subscribe in whatever your favorite podcast app is. And during the week between episodes, if you want to keep up with me on social media, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. And if you have any comments, concerns, or guest suggestions, drop us a line at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. So I gotta say, I had a lot of fun having Ashley in the studio tonight. Ashley and I go way back, and it's great to see the person she's become. Volunteering is a huge part of her life, and even though she doesn't like to talk about it on a daily basis, I get her to open up this week and talk about it, and why just 5 minutes of your time could really go a long way. And like I said before, this episode isn't going to be like the last few weeks, where you have to have the tissues ready. This is just a great episode to listen to, and one that'll make you feel good. So please help me welcome Ashley Guyverson. Ashley, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm honored, actually.
No, it's awesome. I'm really happy to have you here. We've known each other a long time.
Very long.
Yeah, too long, I think, sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, you and I have known each other since middle school. I don't know. When did you?
At least. So I moved here to Bridgman in seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
So you'd have been.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yeah. So we've known each other since then.
Yeah.
So a while we've known each other.
Yeah. A hot minute.
And I'm really proud of the things you've done with your life and where you've gone, which is one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on here.
Okay. Awesome.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. See, weird.
Weird. It's all good. Do me a favor and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Ashley Guyverson. I live in South Bend with my husband, Adrian, and I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter. I have a little one on the way.
How far along are you?
25 and a half weeks.
25 and a half. Yeah. So you're over half.
Yeah, we're over the hump.
Yep.
And it's going really well. I'm happy about that. She's treating me very well. So we're having a girl.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My first, I was not one who wanted kids.
Yeah. So. When you told me you were pregnant, I was surprised. Matter of fact, I even think I asked you if it was a surprise.
You did. You and everybody else.
Because from knowing you, I knew that that wasn't something that, at least in my head, that you wanted, or at least seemed like you wanted.
It was not on the radar. In fact, I was a very vocal, I'm not having kids for a very long time. So I'm 33 now, and I went 33 years to the day I'm not having. I love kids. Don't get me wrong. I love kids. I love being around them. I love spending time with them. And for the longest time, I loved the idea that I could play with kids, do cool things with them, and give them back.
Yeah.
And actually, it was on my 33rd birthday. I had a conversation with my brother, and I made a statement to him that just flipped a switch in my mind.
Do you remember what it was?
I do. I told him, we were talking about something, and I said, yeah, well, I'll never make you an uncle.
Okay.
And just as I've made several comments to my sister, to my brother, to lots of people.
Yeah.
And that particular comment just, it hit me hard.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know, but something registered, and it started this thought process of, holy cow. And I think what it was is it was less about, I'll never make somebody a something, and more about what connections I might be missing out on. So my brother is a great uncle.
Yeah.
To all his friends' kids, to Adrian's daughter. He's a fun guy to be around with kids. It's fun to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sister, she's great with kids too. It's fun to watch her. My parents would be great, you know, grandparents.
Yeah,
so you
for
start
sure.
thinking about all of these connections that you have with people and the value they've given my life. And I'm like, holy shit, this would be like the way that it would bring people together. I never once considered that ever.
Hmm.
I always looked at it from my own perspective. So
yeah, I don't think I ever would have thought of it from a different perspective because it is such a personal thing.
It is. And for a very long time, I was pretty selfish. And I think a lot of that had to do with I just wasn't ready mentally.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a place that I could make that decision to have a child and to bring a child in this world because I don't think I was mature enough for that.
Okay.
Until that point. So
that's hard to understand for yourself, too.
Trust me, when you go 32 years and 364 days,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, maybe I do want kids. And I've been telling myself all these things so that I don't have to think about it and I don't have to consider it. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, maybe I do. And then, you know, there's a lot of outside influences too. You know, my mom had me very, very young. She was 19 when she had me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear from her, live your life, have fun, do things, you know, go see the world, travel, do all this stuff. Cause she didn't have that opportunity. It wasn't derogatory in any way. It's just her experience.
Yeah.
So I had that. And then I have, you know, society is fucked up. And it's like, do I really want to raise a child in a world where you even look wrong at your kid and someone's bitching?
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. That
scares, that's terrifying.
It scares the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I've thought that too is, you know, I worried about that when we had our first child. When we had our first child, I think I don't know if I would say I was mature enough or not, but I definitely had that like, all right, we're going to have a baby. And then when we found out we were pregnant, it was kind of like, oh shit, we're going to have a baby.
Shit just got real.
Yeah. This is for real. And then I think I was more, I don't want to say selfish at that point, but more self-centered and kind of focusing on what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about everything else. But when we had our second child is when I became, I want to say I was a little more open and aware of what was going on, even though I was. When we had our first child, I just didn't think about it the same. And when we were going to have our second child, it was kind of that same thing. It's like, do I really want to bring another child into this world that we're dealing with? And especially like today, I mean, it's just getting worse and worse. I hope things get better.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is hard.
And ironically, that's what drives me to do a lot of what I do.
Yeah.
Which I know we'll get into, but.
Yeah, which is good why segue. I brought you here.
Good segue. but yeah, so being pregnant was never on my radar. We're here now.
Yeah.
Shit got real, real quick because, so my birthday's in October.
Yeah.
I had that conversation on my birthday and a week went by. I ping ponged this whole pros, cons, do I, don't I. Another outside influence, Adrian had she's 14 now, has a daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very adamant. I don't want any more kids. I have one. That's enough for me. I don't want any more. I don't need any more. So we never... But that was just it. Anytime we ever brought it up, we were like, no, we like our lives. We like to travel. We like, you know, we have our dogs. We have our cat. We're cool.
And especially having a child at that age, they're very self-sufficient.
Yes.
Just make sure they're fed.
Yeah, right.
And watered or whatever you're supposed to do with them.
Give them some sunlight.
Yeah, give them some sunlight.
Yeah.
Maybe let them outside for fresh air occasionally. Yeah. But yeah, they're super self-sufficient at that point. So now, you know, you're going to welcome a baby, which now it's shit is going to get real.
Yeah.
Not to scare you. I guess I shouldn't be saying that yet.
But well, I've been around kids my whole life, so it doesn't really terrify me. I'm more scared about Adrian and dealing with messes.
Yeah.
But no, we're in a really good spot. Probably making having the decision to have a kid and making that decision and going through that decision process and being where I'm at now, I'm probably the most comfortable I've ever been in my life while still being uncomfortable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, and being pregnant has emotionally, physically, obviously, but emotionally, it's been a really crazy roller coaster for me. I've gone through some really weird,
yeah,
like self-discovery things that just it's been insane.
Yeah.
In a really cool way.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So. Something I'll never experience. Even though we went through that conversation with my wife a little bit ago when she said she made cookies for the baby and I just stuck my tummy out and said I was feeding them to the baby.
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay.
Your though. Food baby.
So I did bring you here to talk about because I know you are big into volunteering.
I am.
And I know you don't like talking about it because that's not the point of volunteering.
Right.
But I'm going to make you talk about it tonight.
Just for you.
I appreciate that. So I do know volunteering is a big part of your life. So what are the things you're volunteering in at the moment?
A lot. So I'm a big sister.
Okay.
Big brothers, big sisters.
Yeah.
I have been in that program. I started as a lunch buddy back, 8 years ago. I think we started 8 years ago. And then about a year into it, we moved to the community-based program. So lunch buddy, you just go and have lunch with them once or twice a week, see how their day's going, kind of break up the monotony of their day, give them someone to connect with. And then I changed jobs, which didn't allow me because I was working too far away from the school. So we changed to the community-based program. So at that point, it allowed me to pick her up and take her places. We could do things.
The same child?
Same child, yeah. Okay. So that means that we could then do things out in the community together. I could take her to the movies or I could take her to an outing or things like that. I could pick her up and drive her places. Whereas Lunch Buddy, it's just at the school. Just during lunch.
Okay.
We've been doing that 7 years now.
Wow.
So I've been, Adrian's daughter is 14.
Okay.
My little, she is a year older. She's 15. She'll be 16 next May. I've been around her the same amount of time as I've been around Audrey.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I essentially have watched two girls
go
from.
Come to age.
8 years old to young.
Young women.
Young women.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's been an insane journey. So it's essentially like having another kid, which is really cool.
Yeah.
She's ingrained in our family. My mom and Jeff, my stepdad, they look at her as if she's a grandkid.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool. So we do birthdays and we do Christmas and all this stuff. So she gets a different perspective on life, which is really cool. So that's one of the big ones I do. I volunteer Junior Achievement.
Okay.
Here in Bridgman, actually.
Yeah.
So that I go in and I teach first graders about needs and wants, basically. So it's their economic program.
Okay.
I've been doing that.
That sounds tough.
It's actually not. It's five class meetings, 45 minutes each. And it's very basic. Like, hey, is a cat a need or a want? Hey, is food a need or a want?
Okay.
What are the basic needs and wants and what's the difference?
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
And it kind of ropes in community and
I think you should teach some adults that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of adults that need to learn that.
I agree. Lots of them. There's a lot of adults that confuse the two because we say, oh, I need that. No, you don't. You want it.
Yeah.
You don't need a fancy car.
Absolutely.
You want one. In fact, now that I've been teaching Junior Achievement so long, I do that to people.
Yeah.
They say, oh, I need that. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just want it. So that's another big one. Do you remember Mrs. Deckert?
Yeah.
I taught in her class for, I think I've been doing that for 5 or 6 years. And then when she retired, now I'm with Pongelic.
Okay.
Heather Pongelic.
Yeah.
Which she was in my grade in high school. So, it's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
Now I'm teaching with some of my friends from high school. So that's another big one. I'm the president of the Lakeshore Chamber of Commerce.
How in the hell did that happen?
Well, at my job at the plant, I'm required because I'm kind of in a PR public relations role.
Yeah.
To build credibility in the community, I'm required to sit on a board.
Okay.
It doesn't matter which board, I'm just required to sit on a board.
But you went for it.
I did. So at the time when I joined the team I'm on now, in the role I'm in, someone had approached my boss and said, hey, we're looking for a board member. We think someone from your team might be a good fit because of XYZ thing we're doing. And so he's like, yeah, okay, she'll join. So at first I was literally just a board member. Well, about 4 months in, we went through a transition where we were going to go through our annual meeting to like pick new officers and things like that.
Okay.
And there was some changes. Some people were coming off, some new people were coming in, and the vice chair seat came open and no one was speaking up. So it was like crickets in the room. And I'm like, Well, hell, I'm an overachiever. Yeah. I volunteer for stuff and don't really realize what I'm volunteering for till later. So I was like, I know I'm new, but if you guys need somebody, nobody else wants it, I guess I'll step up and fill the role for a minute or two, you know? So that's how I got the vice president seat. Fast forward 3 months while I'm in that role and our president leaves.
Oh, geez.
So the group had a decision to make, and I'm like, I'm so new to this. That's totally up to you guys, yeah. But I mean, I'll step up.
I'm here to fuck shit up.
Yeah, I'll step up if you need me to. If not, then I'm happy to stay where I'm at, and nobody else wanted it, so I just naturally filled that role. Filled that for the end of the year, got voted back in as president, so now I'm like legit the president of the chamber. So a lot of that is just focused on the community of Lakeshore.
Okay.
So it's Stevensville, Baroda, South St. Joe, and how do we boost tourism and how do we get, you know, businesses promoted and things like that. So it's I'm kind of the director of activities, so to speak. Like, here's the things we're going to go work on, and here's some things we need to do better, or here's some things we do really well, and that kind of thing. So I'm kind of the head honcho on that horse right now. So it's kind of a requirement of my job, and then also me being an overachiever.
Yeah, you're like, we're going for this.
Yeah, might as well.
How do you find time for this shit?
So the chamber, I'm fortunate enough that because it's a job requirement, I can work that in during my day job.
Okay.
So we do meetings once a month for an hour and a half, and then a lot of it's by email.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's really not too time consuming unless we have a meeting or if we have an event or something like that that requires me to actually go somewhere. But even then, it's just a few hours a month.
Yeah.
And I can, like I said, work that in with my job. So that one isn't too bad. Some other things I have volunteered for, I'm not so active in anymore, is Girls on the Run.
Okay.
I was a running buddy a couple times, and then I actually coached 1 year. Nice. That was pretty fun.
I had a guest on a few weeks ago that talked about Girls on the Run.
Oh, really?
It was Derek Nicely. He talked about his daughter doing Girls on the Run. And
that's a good program.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And especially, I don't know if you've heard Derek's story. Derek's story is an incredible one. And for the listeners, probably have heard it. It's episode 34. It's Derek Nicely, titled No More Bad Days. But his daughter had brain surgery.
Oh, wow.
And had half of her brain removed.
Really?
And basically, they told her she'd never do anything again. And she is a full-functioning human being that does everything. And they do Girls on the Run, right, as well, as one of the things
that's
they
crazy.
Do.
I haven't listened to that one yet, but that is insane.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that program does crazy cool things.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that one, I don't run so much anymore. I did a marathon, and after I did that marathon 3 years ago, I just mentally can't get back into running. It took a lot out of me, so I haven't done the running. But a few years ago, I did it, I think, back-to-back 3 years in a row, either as a running buddy or as a coach. Yeah. So, and then lots of various things. I've helped with United Way. I've helped with, and that's our campaign at the plant, because I work at the Cook plant.
Okay.
I've done that. And then lots of odds and ends type volunteering. So the bulk of it, though, is the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Junior Achievement. Those are my two pretty big ones that I do the most.
Yeah. And I really want to talk about the Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Yeah.
Because I think that is huge. And I think that not enough people do that.
Yeah, there's always a need for bigs.
So what got you into that in the first place?
From what I remember, and a lot of times I get roped into stuff, and I honestly can't remember where I started. I was working at the plant, and I recall seeing, we do this newsletter that goes out a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an internal thing that sometimes if there's opportunities, like, hey, this event is taking place, or hey, this group is looking for volunteers, or hey, you know, whatever. I think I saw something on there that said Big Brothers, Big Sisters is looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
And I just kind of pulled the thread, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it before. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Because sure, why not? I'll try anything once. Well, not anything. Most things. I'll try most things once. So I just kind of pulled that thread and I filled out an application. They matched, they ask you some questions personality-wise, kind of like a dating profile.
That's weird.
Maybe not quite like that, but similar. and what they're doing is they're looking for similarity so that they can match you with a kid.
Okay.
So like, are you into sports versus are you into more like techie type things.
Makes sense.
Because why would you put a sports fanatic with a techie? I mean, that might work, but they're looking for similarities and compatibility with the kids. So I filled that out. They matched me. And then that's kind of how it started. And again, it started as the lunch program. So I was going once, maybe twice a week, spending a half hour there.
Yeah. So you just pulled this? I mean, you didn't really have any thought beforehand?
No.
You just went for it?
Yeah. It was just, I saw it and I was like, this sounds interesting. What is this? What's this all about?
Yeah.
Which actually is a lot of times how I get roped into stuff, because I'm like, that sounds kind of neat. we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like food. That sounds cool. Let's taste that. If it tastes like shit, spit it out. If it's good, keep eating it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I go about my life, is I'll give it a try.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you went into this lunch program.
Yep.
And was this locally, or is this in South Bend? Or
It was in Buchanan, actually. I was working at our office in Buchanan, and it was one of the Buchanan, I think it was elementary school at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of... So you went a couple days a week for that.
Yep.
And then
for the first year.
For the first year.
Yep. And then I actually left. I left my job at the plant, and I was actually working in Elkhart at that point. So the going from Elkhart to Buchanan to have lunch, it just wasn't feasible.
Do you know how they? I don't want to say pick the children, but do you know how they pick the children? I mean, is it the parents sign them up, or is the school sign them up, or?
I would have to double check, but I want to say that it's a recommendation from someone in the school, and then they can also apply for it.
Okay.
So, and a lot of times it's kids that are troubled, or they have family situations where parents can't spend a lot of time with their kids, or maybe they just need a little more attention. It's all over the map in terms of who joins these programs.
Okay.
So they can apply. I think they can be recommended by like a counselor. They have to have parent permission.
Yeah.
So the parents have to sign off on that, say, yeah, I want my kid involved, or no, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder how sometimes parents take that, especially if it's recommended. You know what I mean? So, and maybe I don't see it the same way, but I feel like at first I would be a little standoffish. If the school came to me and said, hey, we think Maddox needs a big, my first thought would be like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, what the fuck am I doing wrong? And I know some people don't.
What is my deficiency as a parent? Yeah.
And I know some people don't see it that way. And maybe some people would be even more standoffish, like, my fucking kid doesn't need that. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, I think it all depends on the situation.
Yeah.
I think that someone who perhaps might feel guilty, or maybe they know that they don't provide in a certain way, or they feel inadequate, and somehow they could certainly take that defensive stance of, why the hell is my child being selected for this?
Mm-hmm.
Some people welcome it. Some people are a little more standoffish about it. I think it just depends on where that family is, where that person is, where that kid is. My little's mom, she's great. Watching her and my little kind of progress through life to this point, and the things that they've gone through, the things that I've been able to give them perspective on. And that's really the cool part about being a big. It's more about giving someone the opportunity to see life through a different perspective or a different lens than it is about, you know, less of the defensive side of what does my kid need, or what am I not giving them? And it's, you know, you have different teachers in school, because not everybody knows how to do math, geography, and science.
That makes sense.
So you have different teachers to teach different things, because we naturally are better at certain things.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it, is, you know, whether you work full time and you're gone all the time because you travel, or, you know, maybe you just aren't capable of providing certain things.
Yeah.
That program offers an opportunity for those kids to learn and see life from a different perspective. So it's really just about giving them someone that's a third party that they can talk to.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I've heard stories through the big program where like say you have a kid who maybe they lost a parent.
Okay.
And they're struggling with that grief process, or the, you know, how does life go on without that parent?
Yeah.
So they a lot of times maybe become troubled.
That makes sense.
They have poor grades. They have, you know, maybe they're angry. They get in fights, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a big in, and it actually changes how that kid behaves because they have an outlet.
Yeah.
They have someone to talk to. They have someone to go through those things. And I know I've heard several stories like that. So from that perspective, it just really helps to give these kids perspective and families too.
Yeah.
I know with my my little and her mom, we've got a pretty good relationship that if something's going on, her mom will text me and be like, hey, can we talk about this? Or, hey, can you hang out with Erica? I got something to do. Or not really like a babysitting thing, but like, hey.
She needs some help.
She needs some help. She needs a minute. Or, you know, hey, we're heading out of town. Do you want to spend some time with her?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like being a step parent.
Gotcha.
In a way, it's kind of cool.
I really like the analogy you said, though, about the being a teacher. I think that's a really neat analogy. Like you said, that not everybody has the skill sets across the board.
Right.
And sometimes you need those outside skill sets.
Absolutely.
That's an intriguing thing and a great way to put it. I wouldn't have thought about it that way, but it really opens my mind when you say it like that, that they need those extra skill set to push them in the right direction.
Right. And every big is going to be from a different background. And I think that's, again, where that compatibility piece comes in is, you know, if you've got someone that has a specific background and a specific skill set and you've got a child that is struggling in a specific area, you can bring them together. And these kids typically go through like a 180 transformation.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And ours is less like that because Erica's been pretty stable over the board. I mean, she's had some issues that we've worked through that have been pretty big, actually.
Okay.
But pretty profound to be a part of and to watch that transition and to watch some, you know, going through some of these life challenges and milestones and things like that. So even on a lesser scale where it's not this big, you know, storybook, you know, rags to riches or, you know, bad to good story, being able to go through those transitions and, you know, help guide and give perspective. It's just, it's a really cool opportunity for me as someone that can provide that.
Yeah. So I know we kind of jumped a little bit ahead, but so you went from the lunch program to what you call it, the community program?
Community based. Yeah.
Okay. And you were able to have more time with the people.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, Erica can stay the night at my house.
Okay.
We've taken her on trips.
Nice.
So we did a road trip 3 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. We did the Route 66 and we went from here to my dad's in New Mexico in Albuquerque. Wow. So we did a week-long car ride, basically, with our two dogs. And Audrey went with us. And so it was basically kind of like a family road trip. It was really cool. So
that's crazy.
We've done things like that. We've taken her to Chicago. We've taken her to Wisconsin to see my aunt and uncle.
Yeah. Do the two girls get along?
Yeah, they do.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I just thought about that when you said that.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. That's...
Well, and have you met Kristen? My friend Kristen?
I don't think
Harris?
So.
So she's got a daughter that's the same age
as,
actually, she's just a smidge older than both girls, but they're the same age range. So they're like I call them the Neapolitan crew because Jalen's black, Erica's a redhead, Audrey's vanilla.
Nice.
So we've got strawberry, chocolate, vanilla.
That's awesome.
They love it. It's funny. So we actually get the three of them together a lot.
Oh, good.
To hang out. And again, it just brings a different perspective and it brings a different dynamic. And, you know, when we do Christmas, our Friendsmas that we do, all three girls are there. In fact, anytime we do anything, it's like, hey, we got to get the three girls together.
Oh, that's good.
So it is, she has really, truly become a part of our family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So if someone's looking to get into that program or a program like that, how do you think they should go about it?
So the one I'm a part of is the Big Brother Big Sisters of Berrien and Cass County.
Okay. Is it a national organization?
It is, actually. BBBS.org.
Okay.
BBBS, three Bs, three one Bs, S.
Yeah, one S.
Dot org.
Okay.
Big Brothers Big Sisters. That's the national website or the national organization. And then our area in Berrien County is the Berrien and Cass County. They've combined the two.
Okay.
They're based out of Niles. And I think you can go to their website and look up their program stuff. You can volunteer just on, like, even just helping with some of the events that they do, even if you can't commit to.
Okay.
Because they try to have you commit to, I think it's like 10 hours a month.
Okay.
Is what they try.
Yeah.
We sometimes will go 3-4 weeks without seeing each other, and then we'll see each other like multiple times in a month.
Well, and like you said, you took her for a week one time.
Yeah, yeah. So it just depends on what your abilities are. But if you go, I know if you go to bbbs.org, it will probably direct you. And then I know the Berrien Cass County has one. I don't remember what their website is, but that's kind of how you start the process. Nice. And then if you want to be a big, you can apply to either the lunch or the community-based program.
Yeah.
Just depends on what your commitment level.
Okay. And I'm sure there's other programs like that too. I mean, I know there's, I'm sure if you just Googled it, you could probably find all sorts of programs and probably more local to wherever you would be.
Yeah. I would imagine that somewhere like, maybe not United Way, but what's one of the other ones in the area? There's plenty of those local charitable type organizations, and I know they have lots of different programs.
Yeah.
This is just one that is pretty well known across the country.
No, and I think really that's a big deal. As much as I love charities and I love seeing people volunteer and give time, I think giving time to kids is really important. Really, really important. I personally probably could have used it when I was younger for myself.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I think that I feel the way I do about it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, they don't want to give the time, even though they know they probably could have used the time.
Yeah, and that's, to me, so when you look at all the volunteering I do, and sometimes I don't even realize how much I do until I start listing them off.
Yeah.
Because I just do them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, there's an event going on. Yeah, I'll volunteer a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's this thing. Can you donate something to it? Yeah, okay, here's some stuff. To me, the ultimate gift that anyone can give somebody is time. That's the only commodity that you can give that you can't get back, period.
Yeah.
Once a second is gone, it's gone. Another one comes and then it goes, but you can't create more time. Yeah. You can make more money, you know, you can work more hours, whatever, but the time you can't get back. So to me, to give somebody my time is the ultimate sacrifice to me, and it's the ultimate showing of love and caring and, I guess, just the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
So volunteering time and spending time with someone, whether that's reading a book or taking them shopping or going on a trip or just sitting there. I mean, sometimes we just sit and do nothing. Go get ice cream. Those types of things. They seem small. They seem irrelevant. But in the grand scheme of things, you are giving that child time.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody else isn't. And that's what's really cool about it.
That's really profound.
Yeah.
I love the way you said that. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I don't think that really got me right there, what you just said. I mean, just thinking about that.
I mean, that goes for parents too.
Giving anybody time.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, and being able to give children time, especially going out of your way to give children time. You know, obviously at the time you weren't a parent, you know, or you just, leased a stepdaughter, we'll say.
Yes.
You just picked up the lease on a stepdaughter. Yes. But
leased a stepdaughter. Yes.
But yeah, to be able to give that time to somebody, you know, even if it's that little bit of time of going to sit with those kids at lunch, it probably means a world to them.
Yeah. Well, so, and you got to think too that, you know, in a kid's world, and I just experienced this with Audrey, actually. She just started her freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
She went from a tiny little school, little Catholic school where she had 25 kids in her class. Now she has 4,000 people in her school.
Wow.
She literally went from a fishbowl to the ocean.
That's crazy.
And she came home. We picked her up Wednesday after her first day of school. And she was just like drained.
Yeah.
And stressed and anxious and just, and one of her biggest, and it kind of like blew my mind. One of her biggest issues was, who am I going to sit with at lunch? In my mind, I'm like, you have an 8-hour day and you're worried about 20 minutes. But to a kid, 20 minutes when you have this day full of chaos and stress, 20 minutes for lunch, that was the one piece of her day that she felt she could control. And she couldn't find the people's faces that she was looking for. And so if you have a kid that maybe doesn't get along with their friends, doesn't have friends, maybe they get picked on, like, For a kid, that 10, 15, 20 minutes, that could be the biggest part of their day.
Yeah.
And it's insane, because when you go about your day, like me, I don't care. Going through high school, going through middle school, I didn't care who I sat by. I just sat by whoever. Hell, half the time I sat by myself because I'm like, I just don't give a shit. I'm hungry. I want to eat. I don't care about your gossip. I don't care about your shit.
Yeah.
I just want to eat my food. And that was me, but I'm not normal in that regard. I have less of that give a shit factor than a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
So, well, and I kind of learned that early on because I used to get picked on. I used to get, you know, bullied, and it's just what it was.
Yeah.
And I just learned not to care.
That's so tough.
Yeah, it is. And so having someone care enough to spend 20 minutes of time with you, you know, we actually spent most of our time on the playground swinging.
Really?
Oh my God, that kid, she loved, there was a tire swing. She's like, Ashley, watch this. Ashley, oh my God, check this out. She loved it. It was the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm an adult working and I get to spend 20 minutes a day on the swing set. I have the coolest job ever.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go play with my kid friend right now because I want to go swing on the swings.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me too, as an adult, it allowed me to relax as well.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of intrinsic reward there. But knowing that I was making a very, very small impact in her day was probably the biggest.
And it could have been a bigger impact than you realize.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the way I wrap up every episode, as if you don't know by now,
yes,
is I ask my guests for a piece of advice. So if you had one piece of advice to give anybody, whether it's somebody looking to get into volunteering or somebody that just could use an ear right now, what would that piece of advice be?
I think going back to what I said about your time, if someone's ever given you their time, you know how profound that was to you, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, you know. Some of us give even more than that. Just stop and think about what your small amount of time can do for somebody else, whether that's a small gesture like opening the door, smiling at somebody, or spending 20 minutes with a kid eating lunch. It, again, I said it before, time is that one thing that you can give and never get back. And so sharing that is the ultimate form of love and grace and whatever else you want to call it. So that to me would be my number one piece of advice, is if you're thinking about it, obviously there's something in your heart somewhere that's pulling you to do that. Just do it.
Yeah. Take that leap.
Take that leap. Give whatever you can. And even if it's 5 minutes, that's probably more profound to the person you're giving it to than you even think it is. So just do it.
Yeah. Well, that is a perfect place to end this. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Aluminum tumbler with ice in it.
I'm not saying it was the best idea ever. It works. So we'll see how much noise the kids make outside too.
Oh.
And we'll go from there.
Just open a window, throw shit at them. Shut up.
I know where I want to go. I'm like, how do I make words that get me there?
A, B,
yeah.
C, go.
Cat fuck.
Cat fuck. Yes.